Greetings to you and to yours in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's great to be here and sharing with you on this first Sunday of the church new year. In the Methodist Church, we start on the 1st of September and we walk together into the year. It's nice to be able to do our service together online, and we greet those who hopefully are watching elsewhere in the world, as well as here in this blessed place. I'm conscious when coming into pretty much every church of the feeling of the cloud of witnesses, those who have been in this place before us, their prayers, their hopes, their dreams, their struggles literally fill these walls. And in many ways, those prayers and those hopes hold this building up, way beyond the life of the structure of this building is the life of witness and service and fellowship and prayer. That's one of the things that makes churches different to other buildings. I've been looking forward to beginning my small contribution to the work you've all been doing for Christ, some of you for many, many years, here in Oxford and in the communities that surround the city. And so, let us walk with Christ and with one another in his name. I want at this point to offer just a few words of thanks, not to individuals, because the list would be long, but to those in your community here who are stewards and have a care for ministers in their moving. I'm grateful for their care. So too is Miriam Moore, the Reverend Miriam Moore, who has joined us from Kent, from the south coast, right the way down there in Dover, who is now as far from the sea as she has ever lived, apart from a short period in Birmingham. And Miriam joins our team of ministry here to share part-time in the ministry of chaplaincy at Oxford Brookes, the other place, I'm told, we should call it, and also at one of our other circuit churches at Cowley Road. We are both grateful for your care and love in these early days. Back in the 80s, when I was a young man, I remember bread prices rising significantly. My parents were appalled that a basic staple of our diet should rise in price so quickly and by so much. I remember my mother remarking that prices were rising quicker than the loaves themselves. The sliced loaf was and still is a staple of our diet, simply cost more. My old dad kept going on about a loaf only costing tuppence when he was a child. Not very helpful, but it does serve to remind us that the cost of our daily bread has risen by something in the order of 11,000% over the past century or so. The rise in prices had an immediate effect on our household budget, and like so many, we were not wealthy. And so coping with increased food prices for basic goods and services is always hardest on those in our communities that live on a limited or fixed budget. The idea that poor folk waste money is ridiculous, and in my experience has no basis in fact whatsoever. The vast majority of those with least simply have to budget very closely, most students included. I thought I would add a reference to students, partly for Miriam, who may well watch this later online, although she is leading a service herself this morning, but also because we reside in the most famous university city in the world. Although not the most populous with actual numbers of students, I gather. Though they at times may seem to be everywhere, although at the moment, of course, that's not the case. I know it's a little early for term and we don't know what things are going to look like. I know that Oxford Brookes are going to do much of their teaching online, and I guess the same will be true for other colleges too. But there are around about 42,000 students at its peak in our city, which has a population of around 155,000 people. So there's 100,000 people who are not students, even though some of them, many of them, will rely on the university life for their own income. Just this last week, I noticed a news article that the wheat harvest in the UK is going to be poor this year, and the price of flour is set to rise again. Extraordinary weather over the last year has had farmers across the UK wondering how to manage. Farmers are predictable folk who like predictable weather. And so the volatile weather of the last 6 or 7 months has been especially challenging. Changes in the climate of seasons leads to a boom and bust cycle of agricultural production. Some years there is a good excess producing harvest, and in other years the harvest is poor, far below what is needed to meet demand. As I read the news article, it put me in mind, as often news does, of something we know from Scripture. In this case, the story of Joseph from the Old Testament Bible. He of the amazing technicoloured dream coat, although we are a little lacking in that at this part of the story that we've heard so wonderfully read by Gillian this morning. His coat is gone, and after a jealous act from his brothers, he finds himself arrested and imprisoned. Joseph's skills in dream interpretation find favour with King Pharaoh, and in the end, Joseph is given a top job managing food and its distribution for the whole of Egypt. He interprets Pharaoh's dream about fat cows and thin cows as a need to save up in good times, ready for the bad times. Well, we might see this nowadays as stocking up or even panic buying. The story has a happy ending for everyone concerned, as all are fed and Joseph is reconciled to his family. And the news that we are about to face a poor wheat harvest and rising flour prices suggests that we need not to be too worried about the fact, because the price of bread, supermarket bread, white sliced loaves, typically only contain 11% of flour. That may come as a bit of a surprise. I'll just let that sink in for a moment. The bread most eaten in the UK these days only has 11% wheat in it. Look on the packet of ingredients for your loaf, the one you eat at home, to see what else there is in it other than wheat flour. Of course, a rising price for flour may well affect those who bake their own bread or cake, much more than the mass producers. In our reading from John today, and in other gospel encounters, we hear that Jesus knew how important the basic needs of people were. Jesus was not rich. Jesus was at the poorer end of society. Were he to come into this glorious building, he would be amazed at what we spend on glorifying him. He knew what people really needed. So much so that he refers to himself in the first of 7 self-describing sayings as the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who has faith in me will ever be thirsty. through Jesus and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, God has provided us with all the essentials for eternal life without price and without cost. Jesus is the bread of life here and in the heavenly realm. For those of you who've done any first aid or may have specific medical training, the vital signs of physical life are things like the pulse, blood pressure, and respiration. Breathing may be absent, shallow, convulsive, or it may be deep, regular, and sustaining. And to sustain life, we need a balanced diet. Bread is one of the staples of life. Without it, many would die and do die. What are the essentials in your life? What do you really need in order to exist and live well? What do you think you need to be happy, healthy, meaningful person? Jesus, in our reading, made an interesting observation. He says, "Don't work for the food that spoils, work for the food that gives eternal life. The Son of Man will give you this food because God the Father has given him the right to do so." The food that Jesus gives remains forever and has the effect of producing life forever. Is Jesus Christ as real to you spiritually as something you can taste and smell and touch? Is he as much a part of you as that which you eat? Some of you may have already heard that I have an interest in bread making and specifically have planted a number of bread churches in the last 10 years or so. Now is not the moment to go into those experiences further, other than to say folk have found new friendships with one another and with Jesus in the making and the sharing of bread. It's my intention to invite the circuit stewards and minister colleagues about how we might extend our ministries to include Bread Church and other things in the coming seasons. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about it, get in touch with me. When Jesus spoke about being the bread of life, he was choosing to embody himself as bread in the lives of those who heard him. And he remains a staple food for all those called to follow him, and is food and life to all who seek him too. Jesus is the bread we share. And as we pray for people, as we serve in our communities and the world, we share Jesus, the bread of life. At the beginning of a new church year, let us rededicate ourselves to our calling in worship, in learning and caring, in service and in evangelism. Let us live for the bread of life. Let us live for Christ as he lives for us. Amen. As a taster and with